this morning, the phone guy comes in, and he shows Michael that our phones have a PA function. And then he just left.
This is your captain speaking. The office will be flying at an altitude of 2 stories. Look out your left-hand window, and you will see Vance Refrigeration.
I am the ghost of salesman past. Do not come near me.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. You know what the deal is. All right. We're done with the housekeeping. Weiss, normally I start the podcast by asking how you're doing. But I'm going to start off by telling everyone how I'm doing. So over the last 5 days, I have been sick. It's not COVID. It's just a very bad cold. And on top of having this cold for more than five days.
Well, really, time out. Really got, I'm happy you already told me it's not COVID because I was about to ask you.
It's not COVID, yes.
If you were spending time at the White House.
Which no, I am not spending time in or around the White
which
House.
Which is the new epicenter although I do, of this virus.
Which is, yes, exactly. I do, although I do have a good friend who is a white, works basically at the White House with CNN, but different story. So I've really been sick for over a week at this point. And then Thursday night, I did not sleep a consecutive hour because my dog had diarrhea. The same thing happened Friday and Saturday and Sunday. So that's basically 4 straight days of me having a cold and having to wake up every hour in the middle of the night to take my dog out because he had the runs. All of that combined was still not as shitty of an experience as having to watch the Giants offense thus far through the NFL season. NFL games are averaging 50 points per game this season so far. The Giants have 47 points through 4 weeks. They're averaging 11.75 points per game. They have scored 3 touchdowns the entire season and none since week 2. And by the way, there's a certain former Giant who had 3 touchdowns alone this past Sunday for a Cleveland Browns team that looks like they could be a contender this year because they rebuilt the right way.
And it didn't take them 5 years, by the way.
And it didn't take them 5 years, correct. 36 individual players have more touchdowns than the entire Giants team, Weiss. 36 individuals. Robert Tonyan, last night, had 3 touchdowns alone for the Packers. It's just downright terrible. When I talk to people like my father's age, a little bit younger, maybe a little bit older, they all like to warn of the 70s and what a dark period of Giants history that was. Well, from 1973 to 1976, the Giants were 12-43-1. Keep in mind, 14-game season. From 2017 until now, the Giants are 12-39. If this isn't the second dark age of Giants football, I don't know what is. Weiss.
Yes.
How was that?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty pathetic, really. Just talking on Sunday's game, the offense, it's tough to watch. And what makes it more tough to watch is that we're living in an era of football that's historically lenient or historically in favor of the offense when you look at how football is played today, how many points are scored today. And for the Giants to not only just have three touchdowns in, you know, this season, but to only muster 9 points in back-to-back games, to me, it just shows how much they've fallen over the years. And we keep talking about this, like, where is rock bottom? Where is rock bottom? I mean, from an offensive perspective, the Giants have scored 47 points this year, which is last. The Jets have scored 65. so the gap between 32 and 31 is nearly 20 points, right? And, I mean, watching Sunday's game, this offense, it just looks, it looks lost. Like, I understand the lack of talent, but they don't look like a competent NFL offense. They're clueless. They lack creativity. They can't run the ball.
They're making day one mistakes.
The mistakes. It's. I gave Jason Garrett sort of like a blank, you know, slate. Like, okay,
you gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Not even
for a guy who for a guy who underachieved with as good a roster as he had in Dallas.
Not even a benefit of the doubt. What I gave him was like, okay, Jason Garrett, I know you haven't I know your head coaching record in Dallas. I saw it, you know, firsthand, being that we're in the NFC East. You haven't called plays in like 10 years. I get it, but now you're here, back being offensive coordinator. Let's see what you can do, right? I mean, this guy makes Ben McAdoo look like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy, we'll talk about the future of the staff later in the show. I'll say it outright. This guy should be a one and done.
Absolutely. If it continues like this, how is this guy not one and done?
Got to be a one and done.
I mean, it's bad. And I know there are some positives, if you want to call it that you can take away from the Rams game. But from an offensive standpoint, It's one thing to make mistakes, right? We can sort of excuse that given the offseason that has been, right? It's another thing to, like, we know they lack talent, right? But they don't know, like, Jason Garrett can't utilize his players' talents, right? How come there are not more RPOs with Daniel Jones? How come when you're not rolling Daniel Jones out, you know, where is the play action? You know, what was the one thing we knew about Jason Garrett? He knows how to work with tight ends. Like, where is all that? You know, like, where, like, it's like I said, it's the perfect way to sum up this Giant offense is that it doesn't look like an NFL offense. It looks like this is a XFL offense playing against an NFL defense. Like, they don't look like they belong on the same field. And mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be a team that's going to average 11 points per game for the entire season, but
it's almost impossible to do.
Exactly.
Especially with the Cowboys coming up.
But at the same time, I say to myself, it's so impossible to go a game without scoring an offensive touchdown, but here we are and the Giants have done it in back-to-back games. You know, so
yeah,
this is bad, man. And you look at, like, the Jets, they lack so much talent, and they're, you know, Adam Gase is their coach, but they've scored 18 more points than the Giants this season. Like, the offense was supposed to be the strength of this team, right? Like, that was, like, the defense was supposed to struggle. The defense was supposed to be historically bad, but the offense is, like, on a historically shitty pace, and it's troubling. It's troubling. I mean, the quarterback has not gotten better. You can make a case he's regressed. There's been no sort of...
I do want to talk about that.
There's no creativity with the offense, and all of it is a problem, man. And I know people say, we're going to Dallas, but are you confident this offense is going to somehow muster, you know, a multi-touchdown game or a three-touchdown game?
No, especially because who's the offensive coordinator?
Jason Garrett.
They know his game. They know his playbook. They know the style that he likes to run. And he's doing it now with the New York Giants with far less talent that's on the Dallas Cowboys.
If anything,
I tweeted this, but it's true. The Dallas Cowboys have three receivers better than the Giants' best receiver.
Yeah.
This could get ugly.
Yeah. And not only that, I'm going to say that you talk about one and done. I can legitimately argue that if this continues, he should be gone by the bye week.
I don't disagree.
I mean, this is historically bad. Like, we don't understand this, but like...
And you know the worst part about all of this is that this was 1,000% a John Mara hire.
Absolutely.
I want someone who is a quote-unquote veteran, who's been in the league for a long time, someone with head coaching experience to help out my young first-time head coach. You know Joe Judge wasn't asked, hey, who do you want to run this offense? He goes, oh, you know, Jason Garrett, the guy that's underperformed for years in Dallas with a much better roster. You know there's a 0% chance he said Jason Garrett.
Was Jason Garrett an option? Sure. Do I think he was the number one choice for Joe Judge?
No shot.
I don't.
But we got to talk about Dan Jones.
Yes.
And by the way, so this was funny. A lot of people on Twitter telling me over the weekend that, and I personally didn't realize this, but I understand where they're coming from now, that by me calling him Dan Jones instead of Daniel Jones or Danny Dimes, people think that me using Dan Jones is like a slight, which was not the intention, but it might as well be now. During the game, I tweeted, it's not verbatim, it's along the lines of, if Dan Jones cannot win this football game, this is a big indictment against him. Which at the time, I truly believed, but I would understand if some people were to disagree. Our good friend Art Stapleton quote tweeted me, even, in what I can only assume is an attempt to ratio me or get me ratioed to an extent. And boy, was I surprised to read the replies to his tweet and find out that a decent majority agreed with my take.
I missed this, by the way.
Yes. So you can go back and check it out. On Dan Jones, the Giants are 0-4.
Yeah.
I don't think it's unfair to say that the Giants had multiple undeserved chances to win three of those four games.
Yes.
Week one against the Steelers, down 16-10, 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Dan Jones with the devastating red zone pick.
Well, not only that,
Giants conceded
in the first quarter. Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm just talking about late game chances when they shouldn't. You're 100% right. But in the way that I'm thinking about this, I'm just posing it as not really the clutch gene, but this defense kept you in the game. You didn't deserve to be in the game because of how bad the offense was. And then you blew it in one way or the other. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Okay. So down 16-10, 3 minutes to go in the third against the Steelers, week one, the devastating red zone pick. Giants concede a field goal, then concede a touchdown, and then score in garbage time. Giants should have been up 17-10. Against the Bears, they held Trubisky to like 30 yards in the second half. James Bradbury comes up with a blind, miraculous interception. Next play, Dan Jones throws into double coverage and gets pick sixth. But wait, negated by a penalty. Still, the Giants have to settle for a field goal. And then at the end of the game, we all know what happened. Can't complete a pass to a receiver that even committed offensive pass interference. So even if he did catch it, it wouldn't have counted. But again, more undeserved chances against teams that are better than them. But in the NFL, you have to find a way. And then this week, we all know how the game ended. All the room in the world to run, a four-lane highway, all green in front of him. What does he do? Steps into that space and throws a game-ending interception against the Rams. The Giants have no business even being involved in a close game with the Rams. That offense has been firing on all cylinders. I don't think they've scored fewer than 20 points. I don't remember the exact numbers, but they've put up some big numbers so far this season.
Outside of week one against Dallas, they've been really good offensively.
Right.
Week one, the defense won them the game, but since then, their offense has been playing really well.
And what did the Giants manage to do? The defense shut them down, and the Giants still couldn't win. At the end of the day, franchise quarterbacks find a way to win these games. You make a big throw. You step up in the pocket. You use your legs. We've seen Dan Jones use his legs numerous times, not just this year, but last year. You find a way. You franchise quarterbacks don't have more turnovers than they do touchdown passes. They don't. And outside of one or two games last year, Giants fans need to stop lowering the bar.
Yes.
Because that's what we do.
Yes.
Maybe not we, not us, but a majority of Giants fans like to lower the bar. They like to have double standards. They want to laugh when Baker Mayfield struggles in his second season, when Sam Darnold can't do anything, but then are very quick to point out, oh, well, Dan Jones doesn't really have any good receivers. Dan Jones doesn't really have a good offensive line. Pick one. It's one or the other. Because outside of one or two games last year, you cannot look me in the eye and tell me that you think that this guy is the future, the franchise quarterback. The nicest thing that you can say about him right now is that if surrounded with, at worst, competent pieces, a top 15, top 10 offensive line, one or two really good receivers, that this guy winds up as a successful game manager in the NFL. Look back to your evaluations of the quarterback class that went before him. Look at your evaluations of guys like Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance. Look at Justin Fields. And say, if all of these guys were in the same quarterback class, where do you rank Dan Jones in terms of potential? And then where do you rank him based on what he's been able to show you so far?
Don't forget Justin Herbert.
And believe me, I'm about to bring up Justin Herbert because a lot of people said that my comparison wasn't fair. Justin Herbert, who has been putting up monster offensive numbers with basically zero prep time, hadn't been practicing with the ones. That was Tyrod Taylor. Comes in as a rookie, leading his team to big offensive numbers, barely losing to a Tom Brady-led Buccaneers team, a Patrick Mahomes-led Kansas City team.
Yes.
With zero preparation, this guy's putting up big numbers.
Yep.
And doing it with the Pro Football Focus ranked number 30 offensive line. Only the Giants are worse at 31, and I forget who 32 is. It may be the Jets. But very comparable. And I don't want to hear, oh, he's got Keenan Allen. Oh, he's got Mike Williams is out. He's been injured. He's been a non-factor this entire season.
And Keenan Allen hasn't had a good year either, by the way, for those
who want to. Hunter Henry, been very average. Love Keenan Allen. But you know what? The Giants have what are not supposed to be schlubs. Golden Tate should be half decent. Darius Slayton has been very good so far. Evan Engram, all the potential in the world. Just can't put it together. Veteran right guard. Second round left guard. First round pick left tackle. They have pieces. The pieces might not be as good as you want them to be, but it's not as if Dan Jones is playing with like the Jets roster, which is even more devoid of talent. You step up, you find a way to win. I don't care how cliche it sounds, because it's true. Look at who, over the years, look at who Aaron Rodgers has been throwing to outside of Davante Adams. Look at who Russell Wilson has been throwing to before they got DK Metcalf. Look at who Tom Brady was throwing to all those years in New England. A lot of these guys make the players around them better. They step up. We haven't seen that yet. We still have three quarters of a football season left. I want nothing more than Dan Jones to spit in my fucking face, step up, and prove me wrong. Because if the Giants have a top pick, I'd much rather them be able to take that top pick and trade it for many other picks and build around this guy. But I just haven't seen it. And Giants fans need to look themselves in the mirror and truly ask, do I think that he can be the guy? Not in a perfect world, but in most worlds. Because right now, I'm not seeing it. And if the Giants are going to have a top three pick in this upcoming draft, listen, I told you to watch some film on Trey Lance. It's not just Trevor Lawrence that I'm falling in love with. Trey Lance is very, very good. Might not be a fit for the Giants for a number of reasons. But there is a lot of potential in this quarterback class too. And if Dan Jones doesn't win them games and they're picking in the top, you have to consider changing course, especially if there's going to be a new GM in town. That's my Dan Jones rant.
I mean, you made some very, very good points that make a lot of sense. I think, number one, you're right about judging all quarterbacks, you know, the same, watching them through the same lens. You can't clown on Sam Darnold, but then make excuses that could be applied to make excuses for Daniel Jones that could be applied to Sam Darnold as well. And I'll throw in Dwayne Haskins as well. But here's what I'll say about, you know, this is that the term franchise quarterback is defined differently by a lot of people. And it's not sort of like a black and white thing. There's a lot of gray area there because it's an objective, you know, term. To me, you know, obviously you have, when we talk about quarterbacks, you have your backup, career backup quarterbacks, stopgap guys, you know, the Ryan Fitzpatricks, the Tyrod Taylors, the Chase Daniels. We get that, right? The other two are, there's your franchise quarterback, there's a franchise quarterback, and then there's a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I'll give you guys a perfect example. Eli Manning was a franchise quarterback. Kerry Collins was a starting quarterback. Kerry Collins was not a guy that you could throw out there with a bad offensive line, a bad running game, and receivers that were in and out throughout the season and expect him to go out there and carry you to a Super Bowl. Eli Manning did that. Another example of a starting quarterback is Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is getting paid a lot of money, but in reality, Kirk Cousins is a starting quarterback. Why? Because Kirk Cousins doesn't make people around him better. See, with the franchise quarterback, the reason why it's called a franchise quarterback, because he sort of uplifts your organization. Remember last year when we talked about it, we said, is Daniel Jones a franchise quarterback? Well, a franchise quarterback is your franchise. He uplifts it. He masks a lot of your deficiencies. Eli Manning, in his prime, masked a lot of the Giants' deficiencies, and they had a lot of them. Kirk Cousins in Minnesota needs a perfect environment, and that's sort of what a starting quarterback is. You'll compete with the starting quarterback. You'll be a playoff team with the starting quarterback. Hell, you might even make it to a Super Bowl with the starting quarterback. But ultimately, you can't rely on a starting... The difference between a starting quarterback, a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL, and a franchise quarterback is you cannot rely on a starting quarterback to make people around you better. You can't rely on him to go out there and throw for 4,000 yards with Larry Donnell, Reuben Randall, you know, as their second and third primary receivers. Yeah. I hope people understand where I'm getting at. That's my point. With Daniel Jones, when people say, well, he doesn't have help around him, you're right, he doesn't. The offensive line is not playing well. They can't run the ball. We talked about Jason Garrett. But do you know, at some point, right, your franchise quarterback can't be making plays that cost you games. It's not all his fault that we're losing games, but he can't be the guy that make mistakes. He can't throw red zone interceptions. He can't be turning the ball over 1 to 2 times per game. He has to have a sense of ball security. All those issues persist right now with Daniel Jones. He has a turnover problem. The Giant offense isn't able to muster up touchdown scoring drives. He's the quarterback. So when we have this discussion of is Daniel Jones a franchise quarterback, well, throughout the first 17 starts, we've seen a guy that's more of a starting quarterback than a franchise quarterback. We're seeing a guy that is sort of a starting quarterback because what are we saying? We're saying, well, he needs an offensive line. Oh, he needs a running game. He needs a receiver. All those things are true. But at some point, and I don't want to put like a win total on him. Like the Giants have to win X amount of games for Daniel Jones to be a franchise quarterback. No. But when we're watching games, Daniel Jones cannot be making mistakes that are costing this team.
And costing them in winnable games.
Right. And we're seeing that.
That's the key. We saw that. They've only gotten truly blown out in one game so far right. this year.
We cannot be seeing that throughout a season. And so far, we've seen them in three of the four games where Daniel Jones has not played well and he has made mistakes that are costing this team in critical moments. Your franchise quarterback can't make those mistakes. He can't be a franchise quarterback like that. You can't turn the ball over at the rate he's going.
So agree on all the above.
Over the next 12 weeks, that's what this is going to be about. Because everyone knows an all-pro receiver isn't walking through that door. An all-pro offensive lineman isn't walking through that door. This is what the Giants' office is. They're going to get Sterling Shepard back, right? You expect the offensive line, who got better in the second half, to possibly take steps forward, although that seems to be a lot to ask for.
And keep in mind, a very important aspect of this is the guy who thought that Dan Jones could be the guy to come in here and thrive and let him go retire to Cape Cod is the same one who put this roster around him.
Right.
Who got rid of this talent, who brought in some of these new guys, who helped with the coaching searches.
It's
you can't trust that judgment.
No. But point being, over the course of the next 12 weeks, that's what we're looking for. It's not like the Giants have to win five games for me to be like, yeah, Daniel Jones is the guy. Because they could very well win five games or four games or however many games, you know, with Daniel Jones playing bad or not playing particularly well. It's a long shot, but that could happen. So you can't put a win total on it. But what you want to see during games, as I said, you cannot turn the ball over. You cannot be making critical mistakes in critical moments of the game. And so far, we're seeing a lot of those and not a lot of, you know, Daniel Jones making plays. And that's a problem. When we have that discussion of, is Daniel Jones a franchise quarterback? That's, you have to look at that entire body of work. You can't just look at stats. You can't just look at, well, we won X amount of games. No, you have to look at the body of work. Because like I said, there's a fine line between a franchise quarterback and a starting quarterback. And the Giants, right now, at the state of their roster, they can't go build a roster like San Francisco or Minnesota or some of these really talented teams where they can get by with just a starting quarterback, you know, to be competitive.
Yep. One other thing that I wanted to touch on. Golden Tate.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck Golden Tate.
I'm not really a fan of Golden Tate. And with the Jalen Ramsey thing, listen, I'm sure what Jalen Ramsey did was fucked up, right? And I'm sure
no one's disputing.
I'm sure Golden Tate has every right to be mad, but there's a time and place for everything, you know. I don't know who enticed what. I don't know what led to what, you know, like who swung first. Obviously, Joe Judge is going to stick up for his players. McVay is going to stick up for his player. You know, obviously the kid, there weren't enough cameras. Can you believe that NFL game not having enough cameras to pick up something like that? But that's the world we live in today, with this COVID stuff. But you know, it's just unprofessional, and it seems like Golden Tate in his Giant career has sort of been known for more of the off the field stuff than on the field stuff. And for a guy who was brought in here to be a veteran, and the Giants are paying him a lot of money. He's making $10 million a year. He's a top 20 paid receiver. He's not producing on the field, and these off-the-field stuff are just continue to pile up. And, you know, it's another indictment on the general manager who, you know, is not going to get out in front of the camera and answer questions as the team is now.
Especially one who preaches culture.
Right.
Because we're talking about a wide receiver who, in Seattle, during his rookie year, broke into a donut shop late night because he was hungry, who allegedly slept with Russell Wilson's girlfriend, who signed a top 20 wide receiver deal with the Giants to then immediately get suspended for PEDs, and who is now fighting opposing players on the field after the game because they knocked up his sister and left. I am sick and tired of this fucking culture talk. I think you said it. There are two cultures in the NFL.
Yes.
There's a winning culture and there's a losing culture. Is Jalen Ramsey a piece of shit? You bet. But he is part of a winning culture. And for Golden Tate to let this fucking boil for over a year to confront this guy on the field after a game, grow a fucking pair. You're getting paid $10 million a year. Go charter a private jet during the offseason to go out there and knock on Jalen Ramsey's door your damn self. Don't do it on the field. Don't make it so Nick Gates has to jump in and fucking pull you guys apart. Stop embarrassing yourself. Stop embarrassing this organization. Go back to the fucking locker room. And you know what? Jalen Ramsey bodied you during the game.
I believe.
You know what? If it was, as the cool kids say on Twitter, if this was a fade on site, this happens a fucking year ago. He flies out there himself and he takes care of business. Because you know what? What Jalen Ramsey might have done is fucked up, but at the same time, it's not like either of them are hurting for money. No. Golden Tate's sister is going to be just fine. There's plenty of other people that get left high and dry. If it's a respect thing, handle it on your own time, not on the team's time. It's a joke. It's an embarrassment. And if it was another certain wide receiver who was no longer on the Giants, oh, baby, would this story be all over First Take, ESPN, Fox Sports, the New York Post. It would be front page news on every major media outlet.
Yeah, Golden Tate.
Ridiculous.
14 receptions, 103 yards this season. 63rd in the NFL in receptions, 119th in yards, and zero touchdowns. And he's averaging 7.4 yards reception. He's been a not good. And like I said, off the field stuff, it's piling on. And the culture shit. I mean, I get so tired of this because it's so stupid. The culture, that we gotta get the right players. It's such nonsense. You know what it is? You know what kind of teams bring up culture?
Losing teams.
You know why? Because they need an excuse.
Yeah.
You know who brought up culture a lot? I'm familiar with because of the area I live in. Bruce Allen. Bruce Allen used to bring up culture a lot. The culture is damn good. That's one of the sound bites that everyone likes to go back to, right? He said last year after they fired the Redskins fired Jay Gruden. Like that's what this is. Only losing teams bring up culture. It's because it's an excuse. You're either winning or you're losing. That's it. There's no in between.
Yep.
Okay, you got great players on your roster, great guys that do well. Awesome. Are you winning? The Giants seem to have a lot of guys that get in trouble if you paid attention this offseason, and guys that like to settle personal matters on the field. And they're a team that preaches culture more than any other team I've seen, and yet they're still losing. It's a double whammy.
Still losing. All right. What do you want to talk about outside of that in regards to the game?
That's it. Listen, we do this every week, man. Like it's like beating a dead horse. When I try to like give my opening thoughts, I try to stick to the game, but it's tough. It's tough, man. This is a very dark time for fans. And I will say this. The amount of fans who are now fed up with the state of the franchise, because you're always going to get your fans that are like, oh, it takes time. You know, the wishful thinking guys. The guys that are, you know, just they have to be you know, positive because it's their team, you know. I'm seeing less and less of that. And it makes me think that, you know, John Mara is very lucky that they don't allow fans into MetLife Stadium. He's very lucky. Because if not for the coronavirus and we had fans in the stands, or if they only allowed a certain number of fans, it would have been tough. So that's that.
All right. And we can get into questions.
Yes, we can.
We got a lot of them.
I'm sure we do.
It's from Tyler. My biggest fear.
Yeah.
Say the Giants are picking one.
Uh-huh.
Do you think John Mara steps in and says no to drafting Trevor Lawrence?
No.
Regardless, even if DJ plays poorly.
No, I don't. I don't.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
You got way more faith in the man than I do.
The reason why that is because I think it's a consensus among the NFL about what Trevor Lawrence is. There's no gray area there. I mean, obviously things could change, you know, but to me, especially if there's a new GM, no, I don't think he'll step in.
Okay. From Monty, do you think Dan Jones' development would be improved or hurt by firing Jason Garrett? On one hand, he would be going on to his third offensive coordinator. On the other hand, Garrett stinks.
Well, if they fire him midseason, I don't think they're going to change the entire offense. Maybe they'll change the way they call games, but the offense is going to be the same. So it wouldn't hurt him.
I don't think it matters at this point. From Mike, is Hernandez regression on him or Colombo?
On him. We have to stop doing this.
It was bad before Colombo.
Yeah, like Will Hernandez, I put this out. I always wondered how he fell out of the first round, but we're now, this is year three of Aaron Hernandez's career. And remember, he's on the rookie deal for non-first round picks is 4 years. Right. So next year is essentially a contract year for him. And not only has he not gotten better, but he's regressed from his rookie season. I'm going to be honest with you. I think, obviously, Andrew Thomas is a rookie, and he's had his struggles. But Will Hernandez is probably the most disappointing player on the Giants' offensive line. And he's probably the weakest link, I'll say. Because Nick Gates, I thought, has gotten better. Kevin Zeitler is who he is. People like to harp on Cam Fleming, but I think outside of the first game, Cam Fleming has been pretty good. He's been what the Giants
expected. He's been better. Yeah.
He's been what the Giants expected him to be. He's a journeyman offensive tackle and sort of like a stopgap guy, right? For as they develop a young tackle to take his spot, he's been good. Andrew Thomas is a rookie. He's had his struggles, right? But Will Hernandez has been the most disappointing one. Nick Gates has progressed throughout the season, throughout the first four games. So, to me, he's been a disappointing player so far in his career. And maybe we, as fans, have to lower our expectations for him. Maybe his ceiling is just being an average offensive lineman. And that's who he is.
From Mike, it's early, but if you're the Giants and have the number two pick in this draft, what do you do with it? Trey Lance and Justin Fields will be available. Trade back, best player available, assuming Lawrence goes number one.
That's a question. I got to be honest. I haven't watched.
It's a bit too early.
Yeah, I haven't watched any Trey Lance. I got your text. I know.
Please.
So North Dakota State's only played that one game this season, and that's it.
Correct.
They're not going to play another game.
Okay. And he didn't look good.
Okay.
I mean, he looked good running the ball, but his passing game was not great. But go back and watch his film. It's not just for Weiss. For anyone who thinks that this is just a one quarterback draft, go watch 2019 Trey Lance film. I think you're all going to be blown away. I tweeted this last night. Atlanta Falcons. If you keep on this trajectory, Trey Lance is your boy. I mean, he reminds me of like if you combine Dak and Cam Newton.
Really?
Yeah. Big arm, big bodied, can run. I mean, the guy can straight up sling it. Great deep ball accuracy. Great footwork. I mean, I went in with zero expectations. Blown away.
Interesting.
No doubt. No doubt first round pick. I mean, it's tough to say now, but he's not going to be the pick for the Giants. You just know. Same team that wouldn't even consider Lamar Jackson, which is what's everything that's wrong with the Giants. But I'm telling you, Trey Lance, if he went to the right team, right? Because any top-tier prospect can get fucked if they end up with, like, the Jets. He goes to the right place, he's going to be a star. Here we go, from BMAC. For the new GM, would you rather go with a draft analyst like Louis Riddick or Daniel Jeremiah, or more of a tried-and-true front office exec like Casario? And do you think they even have a possibility of being GM after John Mara messed up the last GM search? So basically, who would you rather, and do you have faith that John Mara will not fuck it up this time?
No, I don't have faith.
Right.
A part of me,
I think that's the correct answer.
A part of me tells me that if he fires Dave Gettleman, an in-house candidate would be a tough sell on this fan base.
Yes,
but that doesn't.
I don't think anyone would argue.
But that doesn't mean that he'll. And he knows it's a tough sell. But that doesn't mean that he won't F it up, in my opinion.
Yes.
In regards to who would I want? I mean, obviously you want somebody that philosophically is the same. Because here's the thing. Barring something unforeseen, I don't expect Joe Judge to be one and done. I expect Joe Judge to be a part of the next GM search. Now, when I say that, I don't mean Joe Judge is going to go pick the next GM. No. But I think the Giants are going to bring in a GM that is familiar with Joe Judge. Now, that doesn't mean that's somebody that he's worked with in the past. It could be somebody that he has, that they share, you know, philosophical ideas on team building and they sort of think alike. They could bring somebody like that in. But most likely, I believe it's going to be somebody that has strong ties to Joe Judge. Because I think Joe Judge is in this for the long haul. I don't think this is a one and done thing. I think, and like I said.
No, they're going to fall. I love how, you know, we say, and I think at this point it's just we laugh about it, you know, the Kansas City model.
Yeah.
They might go follow the Cleveland Browns model, where Stefanski was in place before Andrew Berry got hired.
Yeah.
Which is not uncommon for today's NFL.
No, it's actually what a lot of teams do. Yeah. I mean, you look around the league, Andy Reid, Brett Veach was like Andy Reid's, you know, assistant in Philadelphia. And then now he's the GM of the Chiefs. Like, if you go look at Brett Veach's background and where he came from, and he basically followed Andy Reid, you know, all the way up to where he is now. Obviously, everyone knows New England, it's Belichick's show, but a lot of places, the head coach is in place, and then you bring in the GM, and that's typically how it goes.
Yep. All right. From Andrew Penesuel, if we don't get Trevor Lawrence, ? Sure.
What was the question? If we what?
Penesuel. I don't know if I'm even pronouncing that correctly.
The Oregon lineman.
Yeah, Oregon left tackle.
Yeah, why not? You know?
Why not? Or trade the pick.
I mean, we're answering draft questions on. We've been answering them for the last 2 weeks.
I know. It's ridiculous. All right, we got another one. What would be the point of drafting? I love this question. What would be the point of drafting a new quarterback? Even one with the talent level of Trevor Lawrence, if the offensive line is going to get him killed and the receivers can't get separation, wouldn't the better option be trading down for more picks and addressing issues? Blah, blah, so a few things.
Same shit that we heard with Eli. What's the point of drafting? Well, it's the same stuff. People don't get it at this point.
Well, all right. A few things. One, who is the better quarterback prospect? If you know that Dan Jones isn't the guy, there's no point in trying to force him to be that guy.
Or if you have a question mark, It's not just right. There's also that
right.
question.
If you listen, you go back to Dan Jones' draft. If you had said after Trevor Lawrence's freshman year, if he was allowed to come out, who would you rather have, Trevor Lawrence or Dan Jones? 99% of the fan base would say Trevor Lawrence, right? So automatically, higher ceiling. Two, you trade Dan Jones for the pick, and you basically hit reset on the quote-unquote rookie quarterback window. Two, Giants fans have this weird Stockholm syndrome where they think a rebuild takes like 5 to 10 years.
I can't blame them because
that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Stockholm syndrome. Teams routinely turn their teams around in 1 to 2 years. You can build a competent offensive line in an offseason. I promise you.
Look at Cleveland.
It is possible. Look at the Bills. I promise it's possible. You just have to believe me. Open up your eyes outside the big blue walls, and you'll see that it's possible. The problem is, the guy doing the talent evaluation is a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That's why it hasn't happened, okay? So you can draft Trevor Lawrence and still have a semi-competent offensive line next year. And three, better option be trading down. The better option would be trading down if you were convinced that Dan Jones is the right guy. If you have a pick that's worth trading, there is a 95% chance that Dan Jones is not that guy. So there are three reasons or points to drafting Trevor Lawrence if you're in the position to do so.
Yeah, I mean, the Trevor Lawrence thing is going to be annoying because I know the questions are not going to stop. Here's the thing.
If they keep losing, the questions are going to keep coming,
right.
And I can't blame them.
Right. No, I can't blame them, but these type of questions are going to keep coming. Like, what's the point of this? Here's the thing. I am so confident in this that I'm willing to bet the house. Unless something happens to Trevor Lawrence, legal issues, suffers a serious knee injury, and even that I'm not completely sold he won't be. Unless something crazy happens, Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick in the draft. I'll take you a step further. Outside of maybe four teams, five maybe, if any team has the number one pick in the draft, they're going to take Trevor Lawrence. I don't care if they have a quarterback right now who has a huge dead cap hit and you know you don't know what to do, you can't really move them. I don't care if you're a team that drafted a quarterback last year or the year before and your roster is in shambles. I am so confident that Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick in the draft. I can bet the house on that. Take it to the bank. All right? Like, I know people are going to keep asking, like, well, at least hypotheticals, like, what we do. If the Giants have the number one pick in the draft, they are drafting Trevor Lawrence. Quote me on it.
Period.
Save this.
Period.
You know, they are going to draft Trevor Lawrence with the number one pick in the draft if they have it. Unless Trevor Lawrence does something crazy and ruins his draft stock or suffers a serious type of injury that forces him to miss, I don't know, you know, that raises huge medical concerns. But based on the trajectory right now, if Trevor Lawrence does not play another college game, right, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. Even if he finishes this college season playing mediocre ball, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. And outside of maybe four or five teams, any team that has the number one pick will take him. Case closed. Quote me on it. You can laugh in my face if I'm wrong, but I know I'm right. And let's just stop asking these type of questions, please.
All right. Let's see. Will firing Gettleman now even do anything, or should they wait it out till the end of the season?
This is interesting because, yes, it will do something. It will give you a head start to find your next GM, number one. It'll save you from making a stupid in-season trade, like trading a top 70 pick for a pending free agent.
Who would do that?
Yeah. And also, it'll send a message to your fan base that, hey, you know, this is not acceptable. you know? And we talk about in-season firing. I think these next three games are very important for Dave Gettleman.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Because we know from the chair-throwing incident, people forget the chair-throwing incident was a 34-13 loss to the Eagles at home.
Was it?
I know the last two things are true. It was a loss to the Eagles at home. I'm pretty sure it was a score in the 30s, 30-13 or 34-13, something like that. We know that for whatever reason, John Mara hates getting embarrassed by division rivals.
Yeah.
They have back-to-back-to-back divisional games against the worst division in football.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't get a win here.
Yeah.
I don't see how they keep going status quo.
Dallas, Washington, Philadelphia, if they lose those three, the thing is that Philadelphia game is on Thursday night, and after that they have they're off for about 10 days before
for Washington.
No, then they play Tampa on Monday night.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. That being the third game.
Right, yeah. So they'll be off from October 22nd to November 2nd. That's a long period of time. And yes, I do believe that I'm just speculating here, but I do believe that if they lose those three games, it could prompt ownership to do something. Whether that something is, I'm not saying that something is firing the GM or making changes on the coaching staff. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying is that it could prompt ownership to get out in front of this. Because at that point, they'll be 0-7 staring 0-8 in the face. And that is pretty, pretty bad.
Yes. From all the way 0-8. What do you think about Trey Lance? You think he is better than Trevor Lawrence? No, Trevor Lawrence is the much better prospect. I can't stop thinking about Trey Lance. I think his ceiling is just so preposterous. I really do. But I'm not going to say he's better than Trevor Lawrence right now because he's not.
Yeah, to me, Trevor Lawrence is. This is going to be the next great NFL quarterback in this league. That is, this is going to be a great, great, great player. I am so confident in that. I mean, I watch him. I watch Clemson games. I'm not a Clemson fan either, by the way. I watch Clemson games, and you just watch this quarterback. And for the last 2 years, I mean, this guy's been NFL ready. It's insane how good he is. I mean, he checks all the boxes. This is a perfect prospect, in my opinion. Or as close of a perfect prospect as you'll see.
Yeah. All right, this one got DM'd to me.
Yeah.
And by the way, for those who are still listening this late in the podcast, I appreciate your DMs, but if you want to give your question a better shot of getting answered on the podcast, we don't answer all of them, we'd be here forever. Make sure to reply to the tweet, because that's where I look, and I can't tell you the number of times over the few years we've been doing this where someone will DM me a question, and I'll be like, oh, great question, and then I forget to ask it. I'm remembering today, but in the future, just reply to the tweet. So someone DM'd me and asked, this is an interesting one. If you could swap rosters with the Jets and the Giants right now, which roster would you take? The fact that you even have to spend more than 5 seconds thinking about it shows how embarrassing the Giants are.
So we're just swapping rosters. We're not swapping draft picks, right? Like,
correct.
We don't get the two firsts that the Jets have. I would probably take the Giants roster just because, I mean, I look at the Jets roster, man, and it's like, who is their best player?
Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I think he's their best player.
He's a rookie.
Yeah. I don't know Le'Veon Bell. I would probably stick to the Giants. But
yeah, I think I would too. Yeah. But the fact that you have to think about it is embarrassing.
Right. That just tells you the state of New York sport, the New York football teams right now.
Yes.
I mean, it is brutal.
All right, that's it for the questions.
And speaking of the Jets, can I say one thing?
Yeah, this is the open portion, the open mic portion of the podcast.
I fucking hate with the passion. I hate Greg Williams. Like, I wish the league would come.
Scumbag.
I wish the league would come together.
I don't know how this guy's still coaching.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wish the leagues would come together, right, and just say, you know what? We are not going to hire this guy. Just blackball him from the league. Like, this dude is, like, he's a genuine dirtbag.
He's a headhunting piece of shit.
I really don't like him. And, if, like, honestly, him and Adam Gase, because I don't really, I think Adam Gase is an asshole and an idiot, too. I think both of these guys are meant for each other. And,
yeah.
And I don't really, like, I know Jet fans, I feel really bad for Jet fans that have to deal with this. Like, it's, these two are just complete asshole clowns. And the fact that Adam Gase has not been fired yet is absolutely hilarious. You had a perfect opportunity to fire him after the Denver game, but the Jets want to act like they're not a dysfunctional organization. That's the best part about it is the Jets are acting like they're not dysfunctional.
All right, so that's the most, and I tweeted this too. That's the most embarrassing part about New York football at this point in time is that both ownership groups assume that continuity equals competency.
But here's the thing. They don't have any continuity. They don't have continuity. The Giants are on their third head coach in the last 3 or 4 years, right? Like, there is no continuity here. What continuity do the Giants have? They're just pretending at this point to not be dysfunctional.
Sure.
Do you know what the number one sign of dysfunction is? When you talk about NFL teams, when your head coach and your GM are not on the same timeline, right? One year you're firing your head coach. Next year you're firing your general manager.
And the Giants have done that twice.
And the Giants, exactly. Like,
they are about to do it a third time.
They are the prime example of a dysfunctional organization. And that's why when people say, like, the Giants don't do, like, they don't do business this way. What are you talking about? They're as dysfunctional as they come. Like, it's insane how people like to act like the Giants have this certain way. They are a dysfunctional organization. And the Jets, they are just as dysfunctional as the New York Giants. But for some reason, both these ownership groups, I guess they're just lying to themselves, are trying to act like they're not dysfunctional, right? And what's the end results? Constant losing, right? An upset fan base, empty seats. But anything to not look dysfunctional. Anything to not look dysfunctional. They're just lying to themselves at this point. Sorry, I just had to get that out. I'm watching all this stuff and I listen to podcasts and people keep talking about, well, the Giants don't do certain things. You know,
you like, listen to the Lombardi podcast?
I don't. I listen to our good friend Will Brinson all the time. I really like his daily podcast and I recommend people to listen. It's really, really good. And I'm not saying he said it. I heard this on a different podcast. And it's just like, well, the Giants have a certain way of doing things. It's like they have the worst record in the NFL since the start of 2017 by far, right? They fired multiple head coaches. They have fired a GM. They're about to fire another GM. Like, who are you trying to kid? Like, what are you trying to, like, you think I'm stupid? Like, you are the prime example of dysfunction. You're losing games. You're firing head coaches. You're firing GMs. You get players that get in trouble on the field, off. Like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing here?
Yep.
We do things a certain way. My ass.
Do things the wrong way.
Yeah.
All right. We're about an hour.
Yeah.
Let's wrap it up. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Follow NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We'll talk to you guys next week.